to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
Be careful of whose toes you stomp on today because they may belong to the feet of the guy that's kicking your ass tomorrow.
And Dale Hummel.
Is Joe Biden purposely turning the United States into a third world country?
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Ryan, there was a question that was asked to our wonderful president today. I don't know if you heard that question or not.
No, I've been on a plane all day, so no, I did not.
The question was from a reporter while he's in, I believe, South Korea, is my guess where the press conference or where he was asked the question. I don't know if it was an official press conference. Are we willing to go to war with China to defend Taiwan? And his response was one word. Yes.
Of course it is.
As you can imagine, the White House is walking the statement back. And not only that, she said, just to be clear.
How can they walk it back?
She restated the question. He said it again, Ryan. Yes. And he acted when he gets that confused ass look and his voice kind of changes.
I still want to know why they're walking it back.
Because that is not technically the policy. And they're saying they were referring to something else. And they're saying everything but the fact that it was confused.
I'm pretty damn sure there is policy that says he will defend Taiwan like a treaty or something. Because I thought it was stupid when they did
it. I'm telling you, the White House does not agree with that idea. They're wanting to, it's bad. So China responds.
I ain't telling you that Joe's the sharpest one and whatever, but I'm thinking he's right this time.
Well, the White House was not happy. Let's put it that way. I don't know what he meant to say or didn't. He seemed very confused when he said it, so I just assumed it was a gaffe, but I'll tell you what, in all seriousness,
I don't think so.
When we're dealing with foreign policy that he is, it's not even funny anymore. It's just terrible. So China responds immediately. A former China military advisor comes out and states this. Biden says U.S. military will defend Taiwan. Does Biden wish to bring those soldiers back in coffins or let them sink into the Taiwan Straits to feed the fish? I take that as...
Lovely.
I think that upset the... Yeah. You know what I think of China. So I'm okay with upsetting them. But we need to have a little bit of a plan. We just don't need Joe out there just talking. I don't know what else to do about that. But he's back at it again. And the White House is doing everything they can to back retrace, saying, well, our policy isn't that. He was referring to something. It's they can't step this one back or walk it back, but they're darn sure trying. So Ryan, this is serious. This is Joe out there on the stump talking about foreign policy that it's a touchy situation.
Again, I'm not defending Joe, and I'm telling you the man is pretty damn crazy, but I am also telling you that I am 95% sure that America has made a commitment to defend Taiwan.
I don't doubt that. I agree. I have something in the back of my mind about that. I don't know at what level or what it involves, but I'm with you. I just don't think the White House was prepared for Joe to come out and answer a question such as that. That is my assumption.
Well, then maybe they shouldn't put him in front of a microphone.
No, that is accurate. How about Hillary finally? The involvement with Russian collusion finally being brought to light that we've known forever, but it's actually on record now, under oath. Her attorney was questioned, and she comes out, or he comes out and says that she was aware that he was going to leak the Russian collusion information when they were...
I thought it was her campaign manager.
I don't know. Attorney,
Robbie
campaign
Mook.
Manager?
It was Robbie Mook.
Yes.
Campaign manager.
Anyway, I did not expect him... I thought he would lie. How's that?
Well, he'd probably be going to be dead, suicide.
No, I agree
abstained.
Completely. So I don't think this is anything new that we didn't. I mean, we were all aware that she was behind this, but now the mainstream media, it's pretty hard for them to argue it. They may bury it and ignore it, but they can't come out and say she wasn't involved.
Yes, I just looked it up. It was Robbie Mook, the ex-campaign manager, and he did testify that Hillary approved the move to let all this go out there and... that the ex-lawyer, Michael Sussman, is the one who's been charged with making a false statement to the FBI. But Hillary knew that it wasn't confirmed, knew that it could be fake. She also knew she had paid for it. But anyhow, and she, yes.
She knew it was all bullshit.
Period. Yeah. And it went out and they did it anyway.
And what's amazing to me, I mean, this sounds trivial at this point, maybe to some, but this impacted Trump's entire presidency and his real everything. His hands were tied a lot of the time dealing with this crap when he could have been doing other things. He got a lot accomplished, but he could have done more without this hanging over him.
I agree with that, but I've got to go back to Biden here. Now, hold on a second.
Okay, you go back. Wait. Circle back with your little clown girlfriend. No, she's
gone.
Oh,
okay. Circle back is gone now. Okay, so he hasn't had a full-blown press conference or goes more than 100 days. So he's gone more than 100 days without a mainstream media interview. Not a press conference, but a mainstream media interview. Okay, which is like unheard of or unprecedented or something. I don't know. But so then they put him in front of a mic. They let him answer questions. And for once, he answers a question that might have some legitimacy to his answer. And now they're scared.
They're petrified. They're running hard on this one. I'm just telling you, they're working hard to cover this, turn this one around.
Oz needs to get his shit in check, is all I can tell you.
I'm starting to think that I'm not sure that Oz even exists. I think it might truly be Joe. I can't come up with another. It baffles me. But whoever Oz is, they're unhappy with Joe's response.
So this is not really relevant to anything, but it is news. And so do you remember the woman who shot herself, who was like, you know, helped the inmate escape and all this other. It was just a couple weeks ago.
Remember? Yeah, remember, okay. That was a couple miles from Clifton's house, our producer.
Right, right, yeah. Okay, so anyway, I saw a Fox News feed alert today, and I had to look at it. But anyway, so the hotel room they were shacked up in.
Yes.
Now they have almost over 6 months waiting list to get to stay in that hotel room. That room.
You've got to be kidding
me. In that room.
I bet Clifton's on the list.
Why?
I don't know.
I just don't understand why.
I don't know. Remember, you were wanting his power persuasion. Maybe it's all tied together.
It has nothing to do. He is back in jail. He's not going to be in the hotel, right?
Maybe there's something people want to feel connected to him for some reason.
Oh, I don't think so. I just think.
You said he was cute or good looking.
No,
or
he is a horrible looking human being.
Oh, got it.
Very unfortunate human being.
What about your girlfriend, Stacey Abrams? You hear what she said today or yesterday?
No.
I don't know. Just broke today.
No.
Well, she's running for governor. She's the uncontested.
Georgia's governor's happening again?
No, the primaries.
Oh.
Yes, and then it happens again in the fall. She doesn't have to run against anybody in the primary, so she's probably going to get the nomination on the Democratic side. She comes out on a microphone and says that Georgia is the worst state in the country to live.
Oh.
And this is the one she's running for governor in.
Oh, well.
I think that's a problem.
This is like Hillary and the basket of deplorables. That's similar.
Equivalent just on a state level. But yes.
Right. Yeah.
So speaking of Georgia, remember that all the negative publicity when they changed their voting laws and actually made you show it an ID to vote or I don't remember.
God bless Georgia for that.
Yes. And what, the Major League Baseball moved the All-Star game out of Atlanta. Coke and American Airlines tried to be woke and punish Georgia however they could. Biden says this is outrageous and we're going back to the Ku Klux Klan days and lots of different things. So now that the primary there is pretty much over, they've counted the votes even though they're still working on that. They know how many people voted in the primary. Now, this was supposed to suppress the vote, correct? Their law change. Over twofold as many people voted in this primary than 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
How'd that suppress the vote?
There's terrible suppression. Terrible.
Just awful. I mean,
I think they should all go to jail.
It's just ridiculous. Monkeypox. Have you got the monkeypox? You've been flying around.
No, I asked you about monkeypox yesterday because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, the Biden administration's hoping for a full-scale pandemic to divert some attention. I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, I'm not going to tell our listeners what you said about monkeypox, but I will just tell you, listeners, that Dale said it's going to be very, very hard to get.
Yes, I am concerned. It usually is kind of contained on the African continent. And it's unusual that it leaves there, and it's in Europe in small numbers. It's in Australia. It's here. It's Canada. Not in very large numbers, but they will go up, in my prediction. But unless somebody, has manipulated the true monkeypox virus, it isn't going to spread like other diseases. The level of how this is transmitted from one person to another is either saliva or intercourse. We can't pass it through the air. It is stronger than, say, Rona. It'll survive on a hard surface, but still, we can contain this. The only battle that we have is you'll go 2 weeks after exposure before the symptomatic rash or bumps or anything really show up. So there is a phase in there, Ryan, that you could catch that from a non-symptomatic person.
Oh.
But it appears even the CDC comes out and says, this is nothing to worry about. This is relatively easy to contain. Shouldn't be any big deal. And the smallpox vaccine, I believe, has some efficacy towards monkeypox. So I think we're okay. I hope that it's just the standard old monkeypox. But it is odd that it jumped out of the continent of Africa when it hasn't done this, or at least at this level before. So it is something that's on the radar, but I don't think we need to be very concerned about it.
Is there still a war in Ukraine?
Yes, but have you heard much about it?
No.
I haven't either.
That's why I asked.
I really haven't. I heard very minimal. And I could be wrong. I thought that Putin was wanting a ceasefire to talk about something, and Ukraine refused it because it was going to be crap as usual. They're going to talk about a ceasefire and continue to take advantage of things. But I've heard almost nothing, and I don't, other than we're sending $40 billion to them, which at this point, I don't have a solution, so I can't be critical of it. There is no good way out.
So Saturday night, I was sitting at my hotel bar, and two other guys were sitting about three chairs, four chairs over, and then this couple comes in, and they sit in between us. And this man, he's got to be 60-something. I mean, or look by looks. I mean, who knows? Anyway, and so the other two gentlemen have been talking about brief politics stuff, whatever. Anyway, this man starts giving everyone there his sermon about, first off, the Soviet Union still exists, even though it was dissolved in 1991.
And he was talking to you as well, or you're just observing?
No, I was just sitting there listening. He was talking to the two gentlemen beside him, like he struck up a conversation with them about this. Because I guess he overheard them talking politics, whatever. Okay. There. And so the Soviet Union is not dissolved, by the way, even though it really was dissolved in 1991. He also says that what Putin is doing with the war in Ukraine is what the Ukrainian people want, that they want a dictatorship and they want Putin to have back control over them, and that all of us sending all this money and all these countries, whatever, that none of it matters because the Ukrainian people do not want free elections, just like the Russian people don't want free elections. They want to be under the dictatorship of Putin or another strong Soviet Union leader. I was about to lose my mind.
You sat there and didn't?
The other guy got so heated and worked up, like they escorted him from the bar. And I didn't want to go to jail in West Virginia. I'm just going to be real honest. And nothing against West Virginia people. Nothing. I've been there a lot.
Oh, I think that's an insult.
I don't think any of the people that I've dealt with in West Virginia would have been in the jail to save me. So I didn't want to go to jail in West Virginia. I'm just being flat-ass honest. I've watched that show, The Wild Whatever Whites of West Virginia. Yeah, no, I'm not good. I don't want to go to jail anywhere, but I definitely didn't want to go in West Virginia. So I got up and I left before I physically harmed this person. He just went on. I mean, like, I sat there for a good 40 minutes listening to his nonsense.
I don't know where people get some of this information. And you and I go way deeper into politics and world events than the average person out there. I'm pretty sure we maybe try to pay attention to more of those things.
Yes, but this man was talking like he was the Secretary of State for the United States of America.
And you said nothing.
No, I did not. I did not. I couldn't. But anyway.
You know what is resonating with our populace? Even if they're not paying any attention to the news, to politics, to world events, I guarantee you they're going to say, what's up with gas prices, baby formula, and their 401k dropping like a rock? Those things are hitting home.
There was some baby formula airlifted into Indiana the other day.
Yeah, yep, there was. And that's another one of those situations, just too little, too late. You realize that the Biden administration, when the FDA shut that plant down, months ago they could have done something about this. Months ago.
Okay, hold on. Who would have thought ever in modern day America that we would have to have baby formula airlifted into our country as an operation. That is the moron that's leading us right now.
It's unbelievable. I'm going to refer to something, Ryan. I was going to do this at the end, but it fits right now. And in your statement, who would have ever thought this is something you'd expect in a third world country, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Okay. So there was an article.
Like where they have monkeypox and stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Which we have now here as well. So, and this all ties together. And I'm going to post this and I can't.
You're not going to post it because then you're going to go to Facebook, Joe. Don't post.
No, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be smart about it this time. Okay. Oh, so there's Lord. An opinion, a news clip out of a newspaper, I should say, from a former judge. His first year of college was, I believe, he's like 85 years old, so 1954-ish, somewhere in there. He's taking a political science class. And in that first day of political science, they presented some facts in this textbook that they referred to that outlined a few steps to overturn a democracy. And there's 9 steps there, Ryan, and it is absolutely frightening what those 9 steps are. I'm going to put it up. I'm not going to go to Facebook. If I put it up on the Beyond the Ring page, they're going to shut it down. Just done. They will. But it seems like I can get away with more on my personal page. So I'm going to post this on my personal page. If anybody would like to see the steps that are required to overturn democracy, and this was back in 1954, and the frightening thing now is you would have thought.
Are we on step 8 of 9?
Oh, I think we've checked all 9 of them, Ryan, or close to it.
Oh, good.
And you know, you would have thought when he was reading this former judge, he's thinking, well, these things could never happen in this country. But if you look at it now, 54 years later, we're just about there. And I just don't understand why. I don't know why Joe and his administration are making these decisions. I can't wrap my head around it. There's no logical reason other than they want power, they want more socialism, they want the government to control everybody, but they're about to destroy the entire country trying to accomplish that. And that's concerning.
I don't think that is nearly as concerning as what happened to your sister Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, she didn't get communion.
She is banned from getting communion.
Amazing.
Because of her stance on Roe versus Wade and pro-life and all this stuff. She's going to go to hell now.
I don't know how she's taking communion in good conscience.
That bitch was going to hell long before this anyway, in my opinion.
I am with you. There's a lot more things that, there's a long list that I could throw out there. The last thing that I have, what about Target stock drops 25% in one day? That affected a few people's 401k.
What happened to Target?
They missed earnings by a little bit. And the stock market has been so brutal. Walmart, the other big box stores, they weren't quite as bad as Target. But I mean, they took a hit the other day, hard as they've ever taken in their life. And I'm telling you, those 401ks are getting beat up on here the last week. And people are not going to be happy about this. They're not happy about gas prices. Ryan, I think gas here in Illinois will be over $6 this summer and probably going higher. I do believe that.
Okay, I can fix Target's problem.
What is that?
If they would put a bar in Target, I would never leave because
that was Walmart. We're gonna be up top.
No,
Walmart
they need
greeter.
An observation deck. Oh, is what Target Walmart needs with the bar. Target just needs a bar because we'll get drunk and buy more shit. Target is a wonderful store. I love Target. I go in there for like. See, I am not stupid. Like I know when I pull into a Target, I am spending $500 at least. That's why I don't go very often. But I do love.
See, my wife
Target.
Is with you. She loves Target as well. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's a tree-hugging, horrible corporation.
I love me some Target. I just think they put a bar in there. More people would spend more money.
I'm out.
Then they get that 25 bet. But I'm just trying to help. I'm trying to help the American
bring
economy.
Bring the stock back. Okay.
Yes. Duh.
Do you have any more current events, or are you ready to move on?
No, I'm done. There's nothing happening in the world besides monkeypox.
No, it's pretty calm. Pretty calm.
That's all there is.
So I have a new sponsor to announce.
Oh, Jesus.
And it fits right in my wheelhouse, Ryan. You're going to agree with this one for
is
me.
Is this the water people?
This is Show Fresh H2O.
Oh, I knew when I sent that woman you to knew. You were going to be the most happy little person in the history of the planet.
You know how many times we talked about how important water is on these show stock when we're at the show, traveling to the show, all of those. Absolutely critical. And this fits right there. So do you remember how much water I haul when I go to a cattle or goat show? It's obscene.
Yes, I'm very well aware.
It's very, very bad. No, none of my kids, Craig, none of them like loading the water. It's all bad. So what we have here is SoFresh H2O, and I've tried this on our goats here. I actually went into town to get some water because we weren't going to show. I've communicated with several other cattle-based people, not other goat people yet, that have used Fresh H2O. As solid as I can be, performed exactly as claimed right here. So it's really quite simple. If you want to make sure to keep those animals on fluids or on water, drinking out of the bucket at these shows, we simply incorporate Fresh H2O into the protocol. We put some in the water, takes the chlorination or the chlorine out of the water. It seems as though the animals are much more likely to drink and drink much more readily without the chlorine in the water. Fresh H2O takes care of that. So I'm pretty excited. If you want more information about Fresh H2O, you can type in swampfox.com or Google Fresh H2O for more information. We do appreciate their support of the podcast, and I'm excited about the product, Ryan.
They gave you free stuff, didn't they?
They sent me free stuff. I did ask. I said I would like to try this before
I knew
they
it.
Talk about it. So they did, and they sent me quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to try some? Do you have some chlorination in your Gay Hill water?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Okay. You're probably perfectly well water, fine,
but I do appreciate that you have a new product that you love and that they are sponsoring the podcast so Clifton will get paid. But anyway.
Yes, this works out great. We're going to funnel that money right to Clifton. Clifton ought to be the most happy.
Exactly. So I have some BTRJLA sponsors, but first I'm going to do the top 10 of the week, and this is top 10 overall hog. Next week it'll be top 10 overall cattle, and then we'll go into the different age divisions. But anyway, this week, top 10 overall hog exhibitors at this moment in time, and it is ever-changing because I'm telling you, if y'all knew the number of show results we are getting and the number of sanctioned shows that we're still getting, yep. So, glad this is like this 1 second, but first place in the top 10 overall hog is Hunter Stevens from Levine, Arizona. Bella Herrera from Woodland, California is second. Ainsley Erickson from Bakersfield, California, which I have judged the Kern County Fair Hog Show in Bakers, California, is third. Taylor Ellsworth of Jefferson, Ohio is fourth. Shaylee Davis of Whitman, Arizona is fifth. Emily Hempel of Beerland Center, Ohio is sixth. Sadie Varner of Bristow, Oklahoma is seventh. Martin Svedberg. I probably did not pronounce that correctly.
It's pretty close, I think. Pretty close.
Tucson, Arizona is eighth. Colt Mello of Hanford, California is ninth. And Camden Lee of Amanda, Ohio is tenth.
I took a poll on that one, by the way.
Yes, everything is California, Arizona, and Ohio, except for...
Yes, with one Oklahoma, I believe.
Miss Varner from Bristow, Oklahoma, which also they are the people... The Barners are the ones that sponsored the Oklahoma Hog. So
excellent.
We're very excited for that, too.
Well, maybe you should bump her up a couple notches.
That's not how that works. But anyhow, the sponsor that I'm going to give before we get to the topic is one of our corporate sponsors, and it is JH Cattle and Mini Mafia. JH Cattle Mini Herefords is located in Carbone, Texas, owned and operated by Will and Shelby Hogan and their two... And their daughters, JC, Hannah, and Adeline, raising and showing mini Herefords is what they do as a family, and supporting the youth is a passion of theirs. For your next mini Hereford champion, please contact JH Cattle. Mini Mafia is the only publication in the mini Hereford industry. Their goal is to provide a wealth of knowledge to the miniature Hereford exhibitor, breeder, and enthusiast. They are expanding their capabilities every day to help the rapidly growing miniature Hereford industry. They are striving to get miniature Herefords onto a larger platform to stand on and be seen. The quality of the breed themselves has drastically improved over the last 5 years, and they're going to match that with their marketing outlets. So we appreciate JH Cattle and Mini Mafia, and thank you for being a corporate sponsor of the BTRJLA.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And now to finish our three-part series that has been wildly successful with cattle, talking about showing cows. And before we do that, I want to just put up three things, just like, because I'm going to forget if I don't do it right now. So, And this is not just cattle. This is everything.
Did you judge a show recently that brought this to your attention?
No. This didn't bring my attention. Okay, I just forgot. Checking. But I mean, I've said this before. I'm not going to hurt you in showmanship if you wear white sole shoes, but if you do, do it at your own risk.
If they're both the same on showmanship ability, you will hurt them.
No, I'm just saying white sole shoes are not a
what
good
color show, what I color just, soles would you like? Pink, purple? What would you like?
Dark.
Okay.
No, not white. Not shiny white. It's distracting. But anyway, and funny little story. I was judging the show this weekend. Little girl wins junior lamb showmanship, and she's just amazing. And I said, well, the only thing I can find wrong with you is you got on white sole shoes. But other than that, I think you've done an awesome job. Well, at this show, they picked an overall champion showman. So while the peewee showmanship was going on, homegirl went and found her some non-white sole shoes, came back in the ring, and I noticed that she did not have on white sole shoes. I'm like, she was the overall champion lamb showman.
See, I think she planned that out from the beginning.
Yep.
That was intelligent. That was a smart move. That was brilliant.
I don't think she did, but I'm just telling you, if you do what the judge says and whatever, they will recognize it and it will help you. Because that could have gone several different. There's four kids out there, and I'm telling you, three of them could have won that lamb deal. And I'm just going to be real honest. It impressed the hell out of me that little junior girl and her family went and found non-white sole shoes that quick and got a chain. So she won. Got her a big old purple and pink show box. She was so excited. But anyway, and white sole shoes. And Dale, your showman, he had on white sole shoes, by the way. Bad person. He got to win overall coach showman, though. But anyway.
So you did not discriminate against them. You didn't. You can say you still use kids wearing those white soles.
I didn't. I still use. He was still the best coach showman there, even with white sole shoes. So he won. But anyway. Facial hair. And this is this
are you
is maybe
picking
it's
on,
just
on
me.
My buddy? Are you picking on my buddy out in California again?
No, I picked on him in the ring when I judged him, but this is for everybody.
Okay.
It is my personal belief that if you are going to show in showmanship in a junior show, then you don't need facial hair. That's just my personal belief. No, because I just...
Why? It sounds like a hate crime to me.
I don't care. I do not think it looks classy. That's the nicest way I'm going to say it. I could say it a lot different way. Do not think it looks classy. And if you want to have a big old beard or a goatee or do all that other stuff, get with it. But I'm just telling you, I do not think it is the good look for a junior to have face. I mean, I don't care if you got like three whiskers and forgot to shave. I'm talking like full out Duck Dynasty, all this other nonsense. No. The porn stashes and all that, I'm out. But again, it's not going to hurt you in the regular show at all. But I'm saying showmanship. This is more showmanship than anything
else. If you're showing to Ryan specifically, no. Others might be okay with it. Other judges may be okay. I would prefer to not probably have it. But if extremely
well groomed,
then
why are you fighting me on this?
Oh, it's just an open door.
Anyway, so I've said my piece on facial hair. And then
was that number two or number three?
That was number two. And so this will lead into... The final one will lead into our cattle showmanship thing because I get asked this at least probably once every 2 weeks. And I'm always asked, what do I think about cowboy hats in the ring? And obviously this is more of a cattle thing than any other species by far and away. And I am going to say this and y'all can all get offended and butthurt and whatever. I do not mind a cowboy hat in a ring. I don't care if it's on a girl. I don't care if it's on a guy. Whatever. Here's the thing. If you look good in a cowboy hat, and I am going to state for the record, and this is really going to offend some of all these white privileged old men that listen to this. Not everybody looks good in a cowboy hat. I know you think you do, but you don't.
How are you supposed to know if you look good in a cowboy hat?
You need to be honest with yourself when you look in the mirror. I look freaking ridiculous in a cowboy hat. That is why I don't wear one. I know this. I have had.
I judged a show recently, and there was a lot of cowboy hats. Was it the College Station show? Did we have a lot of cowboy hats there?
No.
I don't think that was it.
No.
It caught me off guard. There were so many. And I'm okay with it, but.
I don't mind either, but there is a certain set of the population that does not look good in a cowboy hat. And
How is a little kid going to know if they look good in a cowboy hat?
Their Explain parents should me. Know.
I don't know that I could tell them.
You need to be on. I do it all the time.
Well, and no, I mean, had, I don't. I just don't know. I couldn't look at somebody and say, yes, they look good or no, they don't in a cowboy hat.
I have had two parents tell me, thank you, because my kid does not look good in a cowboy hat. And I know this. And I'm glad that you were honest with me. And then here's the other thing on cowboy hats.
Before you go to, I think it's more appropriate in the cattle ring than the other rings. Just my two cents.
I don't think I've ever seen a sheep or goat person show in a cowboy hat.
I think I have. I think it was a goat or sheep show where I had a bunch of them come in with cowboy hats.
I've seen a pig.
I remember it now. I know which show it was. I'm not going to say it now. I do remember, though.
I've seen a pig, a couple pigs, but it's 99%. That's why I left that last, leading into the cattle thing. And then the other thing I'm going to tell you on this cowboy hat thing is, I'm not saying it has to be expensive, but it doesn't need to look cheap, and it better be shaped right, and it better fit.
The hat.
Yes.
Okay. Agreed.
Because all of those things contribute to you looking dumb. If you come in there with one that's poor shape, looks cheap, and it's way too big, and it's hanging on your ears, that is not a positive first impression.
Maybe so, Carney Row Pink or something, that doesn't work?
No, none of it.
No.
So I
can follow into that one, because the one thing that I wanted to bring out, and it ties right into this, Ryan, and I'm going to maybe offend our goat, our sheep, our pig people a little bit, but in general, and it's getting closer all the time, but in general, those showing cattle, when they hit the ring, they're usually dressed pretty professional, and not just at the national level, but all the way down to the local level. Most of them are pretty darn good about it. It seems like they're a little bit ahead of the game on how they're preparing themselves clothing wise to come in the ring and hit you with that really good first impression. I'm not saying that goat and sheep and pig people don't, but I'm telling you, if you aren't dressed appropriately coming into that cattle showmanship, you're in trouble, because the majority of them are going to be that way. Is that a fair assessment?
I mean, yeah, I think that if you're dressed nice and look nice and, you know, whatever, the whole nine things, that, yeah, that makes it
just
positive
one more piece
impression
of the puzzle. Just one more piece.
Yeah,
and I think you're going to get impression. You're going to look more out of place if you're not dressed appropriate in the cattle ring, more so than the others, because more of the cattle kids that I've witnessed recently are dressed the part. Maybe it's just a personal thing.
I know I've said this at least on one of these segments, but it bears repeating again. I do not think any of you people quite grasp the whole that a lot of your fate, whether it is showmanship or the regular show, is decided in the first mere seconds that you enter the ring. Like, and I know y'all don't want to hear it, but it is. It just is, a lot of it. That impression right there in those first couple seconds is going to either put you in good or bad, one of the two. Again, in terms of your showmanship, if you look confident, have poise, all have the right eye contact and facial expressions and dress nice and all these things, I'm not going to say it matters as much as your animal if we're placing the show, but it helps.
Absolutely. I think Cade referred to it as that resume, the first 3 seconds or whatever it is. And it's universal across the board. Whether that judge wants to admit to it or not, I promise you, at least at a subconscious level, those opinions are being formed. No question.
Yes.
Ryan, you remember the show in Florida we did together?
I've tried to forget. My therapist is helping me.
On the beach something? I don't remember what it was called. Something beach. That's where I'd brought out, or you did, or I don't know. We both came to an agreement. We had a lot of the Statue of Liberty. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Oh, no, like you did not that. Know what that was, and I am the one that told you what it was.
You deemed it. You called it Statue of Liberty, I believe.
Well, I've been calling it that for a long time. So what I refer to as the Statue of Liberty is when you're showing your calf and you're walking in or you're walking around, and you just raise that show stick up so high in the air, just like the Statue of Liberty's torch, and it's just like, put it down. Just put it down. Put it down.
Yep. Not horrible. Just one of those. One more of those things. Distracting. Remember, we don't want to be distracting.
I don't know why you got off on that, but no, Statue of Liberty's bad. I think the important things to remember in terms of cattle showmanship is, before you ever get in the ring, have the right equipment: halter, comb, show stick, harness, all that. after that, dress nice, whatever. The things that bother me more now than ever before is when most times when you're showing a calf, you're going to come in and you're going to have a butt or a rear view first. And I don't know how many times I've had to tell kids this right now. When you're in that rear view, you want those animals' feet to be square and as wide as they can be with being comfortable.
I love this, Ryan. This is right.
They do not do this anymore.
No, I was going to ask.
They do not. They let them stand there narrow and scissored. And
they definitely have them scissored, though. They got that part down for some unknown reason.
Because they do not change the setup to the view. And it is literally starting to become my new pet peeve.
This was my number one thing to talk about right here today.
I didn't talk to you about it. So anyway, but this is literally becoming, and I got lots of pet peeves, but this is literally becoming my new pet peeve cattle showmanship. Is that we do not set the animal wide and square on the butt view. We always have it scissored.
Okay, Ryan, you have to help me here because I just assumed that everybody was telling them to do that.
No.
There's so many that are doing it. They have to be instructed to do it that way.
I think they're lazy.
You think? I just assumed that was a new trend.
It is not a trend that I have been ever
made aware of. It's a terrible one if it is. Absolutely terrible. And for people that don't understand, maybe Ryan and I are just on the same page here, so we're not explaining it.
No.
When we pull in like that,
I talk to other people about this. They agree.
those hind legs are coming out of the same hole, and then we scissor them a little bit, but we have no attempt to set them square or just a little bit. Let's get them a couple inches apart. How about that, Ryan? Just let's get a little width there.
No,
a
you're little. Supposed to. No, no.
Let's do something.
Tell them how it's supposed to be. When you go in on a rear or butt view, you were supposed to set that animal's feet. The front and the rear feet on the corners as wide as they can be with it still being comfortable without looking over. Because when you set them wider from behind those feet, those are going to make those muscles tense up. And, I just.
Ryan, maybe you're just old school on this.
No, I'm not. No, this is correct. I don't care what you say.
No, I agree with you.
It's correct.
It bothers me something terrible. And I'm thinking, why? Why would you do this?
If people are telling you to do it the other way, they are wrong. This is not one of those things that are up for debate.
I'm just telling you right now, the number of kids that I see in the show ring doing it is so high that there's no way they're not being told, Ryan. I'm just telling you.
Then whoever's telling them is wrong.
Yes, I'm going to go with that one.
I think everything's open for interpretation for the most part and all this other stuff. Like I said, and we've said the last 3 weeks, you got to research who's judging. To know whatever, whether it's judging the animal or judging showmanship, all this other stuff. Anybody that tells you that you should stand your animal narrow and scissored on a rear or butt view with the calf is wrong.
Very wrong.
Go ahead. Make your animal look like it didn't have any muscle. Go right ahead. Fine. Get with it. Have at it. No.
Well, we kind of have that dairy cattle look trend going on, that freak neck, no muscle, big swooping
would you
belly.
Shut up. Oh my God.
I don't know. Anyway. Sometimes I think it was Mississippi I might have used that term. And it was well received, Ryan. Well received.
No, it was not. Everybody looked at you weird. But anyway. Then the other thing when you're coming, now that I've had my rant about setup on that, when you come in on the butt view or the rear view, you need to make sure that you have enough space in between you and the calf beside you that you can maneuver your stick, you can maneuver around to get the back leg set, whatever, all this other stuff. And you also need to stop at an appropriate spacing so the judge, if they decide to, if there's Cherie Rash or Cherie Clooney Rash Caraba Bright.
If she is judging.
And thinks that she has to walk down the front feet to steady structure, because you can't do that when they walk in, according to her. But anyway, if they want to walk down the front of the animal, they have plenty of room so they can see the whole front end. So don't run up on the fence and not give them enough room.
I'm going to say most judges are going to walk around the front, like Cherie. Most. Wouldn't you agree that most will walk around the front?
No, I don't think. I don't agree.
Maybe not, but I would say, and I'm with you. I don't know that it's always necessary, but you're right. Sometimes, even if you wanted to, you ain't going to fit. For some reason, we pull up to that gate, not just in cattle, but I see it in the sheep and in the goats as well.
I'd say it's about half and half walk around the front. But no, I don't think everybody does anymore. only Sheree Clooney Rash Caraba Bright. Her first name is actually Jessie Sheree. But anyway, Sheree's her middle name. Anyway, moving on.
What about how fast they move around the ring? Their pace, fast, slow, natural. Where do you want them to be?
It's just like everything else. That animal is going to walk at the rate of speed that it is the most comfortable as towards for according to its structural integrity. So I would let the little animal walk the way that it wanted to. But then you hear these daddies and mommies and speed up, slow down, speed up, slow down. Yep, no, that's not going to work. I do want to say this because this is one of my other pet peeves. It has been my biggest pet peeve forever, but now it's getting replaced by this rear view feet nonsense. But when you stick that stick in front of your calf's nose, what happens, Dale? Tell me what happens.
They hesitate, stumble, stutter step.
What happens? They suck back. They stumble. They do all this. They suck their neck back in there. Their back goes down. It is just a gorgeous look. I mean, it is just truly.
I think it's a nervous habit on some of the showmen. That's what I think.
I don't care what it is. Do not do it. Unless your animal is about to run up the ass of the one in front of you, mount one, or get away, keep the stick out of the front of that thing's nose. And they do it all the time. They do it all the time. They're either Statue of Liberty or they got it in front of the nose.
And it does impact how that animal looks, period. It just does.
It does. Even after the initial shock of the thing being stuck up in their nose, they never relax their neck from that point if it's still there. I mean, they get out of the recoiled up, you know, hunkered down position, but they never relax their neck again because that stick is sitting there in front of their nose.
No, I agree. And I want to readdress. I want to circle back, even though she's gone.
Oh, my that God.
When I see one come in the ring and that parent's yelling to slow down or whatever, let's say one comes in and they're trying to take this thing as slow as they possibly can. Is that a little bit like pushing the top down on those lambs or goats, Ryan?
Yeah, if you're trying to walk it as slow as you can, you're going to be like, oh, so that one's crippled. And they think if they walk it slower, I'm not going to notice.
Mm. Yep.
And here's the other thing. And again, I hope I get hate mail. I hope I get hate mail on this. Okay. So all you people that feel the need to ride your calf into the ring, because like that is going to matter that we see you tailing that animal into the ring. Okay. If you're going to do it, do not like tap it with the comb on the way in, because that is going to make it jump or do stupid shit that's going to cause it not to walk as good. So you feel better that your chest has been bowed out and you have been associated with said animal. You just literally...
You put your stamp on that animal.
Whether you slap them on the ass or tap them with the comb or whatever, whatever, you have literally already inhibited your chances. Because you just couldn't, like, let it be and let that animal go in there and walk the way it needed to. But anyway, if you feel the need to do it, just don't touch it. Just walk behind it and, you know, I don't know, wave your cowboy hat that looks bad on you or whatever you need to do.
And how many of the people that follow him into the ring, we're going to use you as a guinea pig. How many of those people would you actually know?
None. Maybe 15%. Maybe. They follow them in the ring into showmanship. I do not know what the point is. It drives me insane. It happened all weekend, last weekend.
You're kind of picking on West Virginia a little bit.
I don't, anyway.
Remember, you don't want to go to jail there. You don't want them following them in the ring.
I do not want people ever following animals in the ring showmanship. I don't like it in the regular show. I think you look really stupid when you do it in showmanship.
Did we talk about the pig sprayer in the pig showmanship? I don't think we did. You like the 10-foot spray?
Oh, yes. It's wonderful. No. Leading, or do you have anything else about them leading around?
What about just your thoughts, and everybody's going to be different. Show stick color, length, where do they need to be?
I tell people on length all the time that you need to wear it. Because like people hold their show stick at different points, some of them hold it close to the tip, some of it hold it, you know, there where the rubber meets the metal, etc. Your show stick needs to be long enough that however you hold it, you can stand at the front of that animal and be able to touch the back foot and maneuver it any way you want to, or reach the tail to pull it down without ever having to move. That's how long your show stick needs to be.
Simple enough. And you prefer bright colored ones?
When you have to move to touch those feet or do anything, then you're going to turn the head. And when you turn the head, the animal, because that is the steering wheel, is going to think that it needs to move with you. That's why you have to stand there still.
Fair enough. And let's stay normal colored, no sparkly show sticks.
I do not. Again, I'm not going to hold it against you. I don't like the bling halters. I don't like the bling show sticks. I don't like any of that. Put the bling on your kid, the bow, the belt, whatever. I'm all about bling. I wear it all the time. But I have never shown an animal with any of that stuff. I don't care what color your show stick is. I really don't. I predominantly show with a black one. I've shown with a silver one at times. I've never shown with anything else other than a silver or a black one, ever.
And I think it's good that you say that, because I would guess if I'm a young person out there and Ryan Rash is coming to judge my cattle show, I might go grab a pretty colorful show stick, just trying to be a little that direction.
And it doesn't bother me. It doesn't. Like, again, it doesn't bother me if you do that. I'm just saying I have never, ever held the color of a show stick against a child in showmanship. Ever. Never. Never. But, like, what I prefer, black. Or silver. I don't even mind that blue that Sullivan's makes. It's fine.
I do have another one I wanted to bring up, and you can, I'm sure, elaborate on this. I would prefer in showmanship, and even in the show, I don't need these crazy wild tail heads. I don't need 3 inches of flank and belly hair. I don't need those things.
Anything to do with showmanship.
No, I'm saying you come in with that, and it makes me think, what? This person just doesn't get it. That is a very negative impression to me.
That's a fitting podcast.
It is.
Dale, that is not a showmanship podcast.
You come in that way in the show. That has nothing.
This is why people think you.
It distracts me. Distracts me.
Okay.
So you would not hold that against them.
Dale, this is not a fitting podcast. This is about showmanship.
Answer the question. You have that.
We've answered it.
You've made fun of it. So
I know,
they come in showmanship
a million times,
crazy,
but you're not.
Flank hair.
Why are you bringing this up on a showmanship podcast?
Because
that's nothing to do with it.
It's part of looking professional.
Then we will talk about fitting at a later date. This has
it's
nothing to do with showmanship. No.
It is no different than having one come in there that's fit terrible
God.
In showmanship. You aren't going to grab a hold of it. You will not. Guaranteed. It's all part. It all comes together.
Oh, my Lord.
Continue, please.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So normally after butt view, you're going to walk around and you're going to go into a side or profile view. Now, on the side or profile view, that is when we need to scissor the hind legs. Front feet still need to be square and nice width, not awkward width, not way out, not too narrow, just a nice width. But the purpose of scissoring a calf's hind legs, I don't know if anybody knows this, but I'm going to explain this to you. The purpose of that is because when you put the show side hind leg further back, it draws a more attractive line in terms of the hind leg set, and it also makes the hip become leveler and flatter. That is why we set them that way. It has, you know, Dale's purpose, have a purpose and a point for everything. That is the purpose and point behind that. It also, when you do this, because it makes the hip leveler, what does that also do? It makes it flatter. That's why we don't want it that way when we go in for the rear view. But
it's very popular, the rear view. I want to restate that. Very popular.
But, and again, on the scissoring, you still need to have the animal have some width between its back legs. But it does need to be scissored. It does help the look. It does help the silhouette.
I think we're so focused on the scissor, we ignore the width part a lot of the time.
What do you think I've been yelling about for like 20 minutes now?
I'm just
stating
that fact. Oh, I just, it really gets.
It does need to be scissored. I think another thing that you need to worry about, especially on the side view profile more than anything else, because that judge is going to get to see the entire silhouette of your animal. This is when the loining and the pulling up of the midsection needs to happen. Now, one thing I want everybody to focus on is there are animals that need to be loined. There are not every animal in the world needs to be loined. Also, you have to find the spot on that individual animal, and they are all different. I have shown 1,000 cattle people. They are all different. on where that spot on that animal's hip or back, where that spot is for that individual calf that allows you to loin it to give it the best look. Because it is not the same for everyone or every animal. You have to find it. That takes people out there helping you, watching you. Oh, when you loin in that spot right there, sometimes it's the middle of the damn back. Sometimes it's right by the tail head. It is different for every calf. They will see it. They will know. They will, oh, yeah, that looks real better. You keep with that spot. Not every animal needs to be loined. Dale, some animals need their stomach picked up, don't they?
They do, and some animals
nobody need... does that anymore. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
No, not a lot. Very little. I see a lot more loining than I do stomachs picked up.
I do not understand how people don't understand anymore that if you have an animal that breaks ever so slightly right there where that shoulder comes into the spine and blade, that you can get right underneath that animal right there and lift that up. Normally, almost every animal, lift that up where nobody ever tell. Now, if you do that, great. What happens if you loin it? That break becomes worse.
This has got you wound up.
I have issues.
Maybe you're just not changing with the times.
Not changing with the times?
Yeah.
So you're telling me doing everything you can to make your animal look the best, that's what changing with the times
is? I'm not telling you that I'm promoting that. I'm just saying that it appears as though there's some things that aren't being done like they were at one time. How's that?
I just don't think
the kids are being told to do it this way. I'm just telling you.
I show cattle. Dale, I still show cattle.
Yep, I'm aware.
Pretty much every month myself, and this stuff still works. You know.
But don't you think the kids are being taught this way? I don't blame the kids.
I do not know, and I do not care. It is incorrect.
I agree with that. I meant to bring this up, and maybe we talked about it, and I forgot, in the lamb and goat or the pig. I'm sure we brought up in the pigs. We don't talk a lot of these calves, and if it's showmanship's in the beginning of the day, then it's probably not that big of an issue. But if it's after the regular show, it becomes definitely more of an issue, or the longer those animals are up. The ones that have been exercised more at home, and I don't care what species we're talking about, that have a lot more stamina or endurance are probably going to cooperate and perform a lot better for you in showmanship if showmanship's later in the day. And I think an animal that's tired, it makes it hard, no matter how good that showman is, to get out there and look the part. Get your animals in shape. No, how's that?
Yeah, and I mean, again, I think it's different for sheep and goats and pigs because all of those have an exercise routine or something. Now, I don't think a lot of people have exercise routines for cattle, but I do think that you can go out there and you can set them up and stand there in the time the shows you go to. How long are you in butt view till you move to the next one? How many times? I mean, do that. And so you can keep that animal out there and that one doesn't get tired and doesn't start to break down and get hot and sweaty and all this other stuff. But talking about lifting things up, if your animal wants to sway in terms of its top line, whether it's the sheath on a steer, bull, or a navel on the heifer, a lot of times you can scratch really hard right there. And that will lift that top line up momentarily. It's not going to stay there because obviously that is not the natural state. But if you do it right before the judge comes, you can lift it up and sometimes they won't notice that they're weak topped. It's a miracle, Dale.
It's beautiful. Maybe save that when that judge is drilled in right on you, right before they start staring
at you. I mean, like, I know these things are just nobody does them anymore. I don't know why, but
I think it goes back to just doing things with a purpose and using some common sense. Everything you've talked about, Ryan,
if you've got one that's weak back, you need to get a purpose and get it up. Yeah, there is a purpose in that.
So all we have to do is apply those simple principles. That covers it. Boom, done. Just like that. Enough said.
That's not it. Dale just doesn't care about cattle, so he just wants to get this one over with, evidently.
I do. I find this entertaining what your pet peeves are, and I happen to agree with some, which bothers me a little bit.
Another thing that is really, really important on side view profile is the head. Not only does the head need to be up and it needs to come out of the neck and all this other stuff, but where you have that head is important as well. You either need to keep it exactly level with the animal's body, or you need to slightly tilt the nose towards the judge. And why would you do that, Dale?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. See, and you wonder why people don't know things. You don't even know, and you're older than I am, way older.
When you're saying level with the body, you mean in line with the body, not level. When you say
in
level,
line
I'm
with the body, yes.
Yes, not level. You said level. I'm said thinking his head wants to be. No, you
in line
not.
And level with the body, or push the nose towards the judge. That will keep the shoulder as best as it can be, or if you push the neck and the head just slightly towards the judge, it will close that shoulder in some and make it look smoother.
You're trying to pull the point of the shoulder in is what you're trying to do. But the shoulder doesn't bother me as much as you.
It happens. It can work. I promise you it works. Been doing it my whole life. Another little thing that we don't do
anymore. If you have
anymore,
a good shouldered animal, you don't need to worry about that.
I have good shouldered animal. You need every freaking advantage you can get.
Well, I'm all in. It has as long as it has a purpose, I'm good.
And then another thing, talking about that, don't get the head up too high. Don't stick the nose up there in the clouds. Don't have it dropping. All those things are important. When you go to lead around, whether you're coming in the ring to butt view or you're coming around profile view, I want to stress this, and I know that it can be done with almost every animal if you just do the work at home. You can teach those animals to almost walk into where they need to be set up for either view. I promise you, you can. You can train them to do this. I have done it my whole life. I have done it with a million children my whole life. You can do it. You can train them to stop with their front feet side by side and square in a position that's comfortable for them. And then you only have to move one foot sometimes, maybe none, because you can train them to come in that line. But if you will train them to stop with those front feet square and side by side at a nice natural width to that animal, then we've already cut down what we have to do by half.
Fair enough. And I want to reemphasize, Ryan, and we talked about this in setting sheep and goat legs, because you have a tool being the show stick in the show ring. If those calves are 97% where if you want to move them just a half inch or a very minimal amount, I'm okay with you doing that. We talked about this in the other showmanship. Do it. I would prefer you did it maybe not right when the judge is staring at you. I don't think the animal's going to fall apart like you would sometimes in a lamb or a goat because you're physically having to move your body back there and you're more apt to drop the head. But still, the less... I mean, obviously, if they're not set up, the judge is looking, you need to get them set up. But if they're close, maybe what I'm trying to get out, don't just move things because you're nervous or it's a habit. Do it again for a purpose and for a reason. Don't just start moving feet for no apparent reason if they're close.
And the whole purpose of training them to walk into it is so you don't have to pick at their feet. You don't have to place legs, stuff like that, if you don't have to. Also, in terms of another thing, every calf's going to be different. They're going to like to be scratched somewhere else. Some of them like to be scratched in between their front legs where the brisket or chest is. Some of them like to be scratched mid-belly. Some of them like to be scratched behind belly. I mean, but you've got to find that out. It's again, it's not the same for everything, but you need to find that one sweet spot on that animal that makes them the happiest and the most content, because the reason we scratch them is to keep them calm. But I think people forget that too. But
And I think that the more time they're in the ring with the stick, or the more time at home used to that, make that stick not something that's foreign to them, but something that they are very, very comfortable with. And that in turn, as Ryan just mentioned, make it serve the purpose of keeping them calm, or to pop the top up, or whatever you're going to be. But primarily, I think we'd go back to that the purpose is gives them almost like a security blanket. It makes them feel calm in the ring, something they're used to.
I think this is pretty widespread, but again, I want to explain why you need to do things. So when you're holding the animal's head, your wrist needs to face up. Like, you need to grab that halter and your wrist needs to face up. And the reason why is it is easier to move that head up and down or turn it when you have more leverage when your wrist is up. Does everybody understand that? Like, do we get that? I hope so. And
But you do see some that aren't.
I know. And I mean, if that's what you're the most comfortable with, works for you, that's fine. But no, more times than not, it is easier to control and make movements if your wrist is facing up in terms of moving the head.
And I think it's mechanically easier for you to keep a heavy-headed animal up in that manner.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, again, if, just try it the other way and see how successful you are. I can't do it at all because I literally, what when I was a little kid first starting to show, they, I mean, like my parents made me do it everything the wrong way so I could see how much easier it was to do it the way that they taught me. And the first time they made me try to lift the head up with my fist and wrist facing down, I was like, I can't do this. They're like, exactly. That's just the little thing that I see. And again, I'm not saying I see that a lot, but you need to know the reasons why we do things like this. And that is why it is easier to maneuver the head, to control the head. Also, where you hold the chain is important on an animal. The closer you get to that animal's jaw, the more control you have until the point that they no longer feel comfortable with your hand being that close to their jaw. But you need to be, and again, a lot of times that works out different with each calf. But I promise you, the closer you can be to that head, the more control you're going to have over the situation. If you're way the hell out here on the end by the leather, if that animal jerks or whatever, that strap's gone. If you're up there on the chain or where the chain meets the leather, at least, if something happens and the animal jerks, that's why we have the leather lead strap there at some length. So you've got something to hold on to in case there is a wreck. But I promise you, the closer you can be to that animal's head without making that animal uncomfortable or making that animal nervous, the more control you have.
Are you close to finishing? I only have one more thing.
I could go on for days.
You're welcome to. I just have the one, so I wanted to wait until you were done.
Go ahead.
I'd like to circle back. You remember you talked about the white sole shoes?
Uh-huh.
You recall that?
Yes, that was at the beginning, Dale.
Yes, and you just didn't like the look of it. It wasn't professional is what you talk about?
No, I just think it's distracting.
I assume.
I think that's literally all I see.
And you're going to sit here and argue with me about a great big old stupid fake tail head or stupid twine up
this
bad?
This is not a fitting...
It is distracting.
...podcast, you moron. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
It is not a... If you're going to use that argument, then we're not... We shouldn't talk about how kids dressed. It's not that. It's all part of it. It's all distracting.
Oh, my God. Just go That's to question where you're answer confused. Before I literally reach through the totally, computer and strangle
totally
you.
Totally confused.
Go to question and answer. I am sorry, he's crazy.
You have to talk about the BTRJLA first. Do you not have some information there you want to share? You're too frustrated.
Oh, my.
I can see that
because
tailhead distract.
You're nuts!
I would rather have white-soled shoes okay. than a stupid tailhead.
Oh, my God. Dear, please forgive him this week, folks. He just can't
Give
help
us
himself.
A sponsor. I told you I only had the one last thing.
Oh, I want to give a shout-out to the BTRJLA's largest sponsor that we have. Once again, Leonard Truck and Trailer. Great people. They're doing even more than just sponsoring. They're helping us get a swag store put together that we hope to have. If Dale would ever call or email Clint back, we could probably get that up quicker because that's his job. But at Leonard Truck and Trailer, they are dedicated to providing the best service, selection, and value. Their efforts are focused on meeting and exceeding their customers' expectations every day because they know that their continued success relies on their ability to satisfy every customer. They are committed to bringing you being your one-stop trailer source with the largest selection of trailers in the nation, on-the-spot financing, a custom vinyl department, in-house warranty department, and comprehensive parts and service department. There is no need that they cannot serve in terms of trucks and trailers. So if you are looking for a trailer, please, please, please consider Leonard Truck and Trailer. We thank you very much for all that you have done for the BTRJLA.
I would like to say something about Mr. Leonard.
Now.
Is that allowed?
Go right ahead.
It has nothing to do with fake flying care or tailheads. Nothing to do with that. I had a chance to speak with him on the phone, and I'll tell you what, I don't know that much about his trucks and trailers and all those things other than the website looks really good. I think he's a genuinely good American. He is just a good person to talk to, so I am all in. Please go support that family-owned company, whenever you get a chance. Those of you out in Ohio, it's easy. Thank you for the sponsorship.
There you go.
Is it time?
Question and answer. Yes.
The first Sweet one's Jesus. Really short. Very, very short.
Oh, good.
Comes to us from Abby. Love. I remember I tried and I didn't succeed completely, but I did try to make it cattle oriented. I thought about that this time. Love your podcast. If cattle showmanship is before the actual market show, do I need to full fit for showmanship? I'm assuming they're not wanting to fit twice is what we're getting at here.
I would not. I think, like Dale talked about this the other day, and most showmanships that are before the show, I rarely see animals fit. Because if you show later in the day, you're going to have to fit twice or whatever. So, like, this is kind of a foreign thing for me because most of the showmanships I do now at these jackpot shows and stuff, it's after the show. And in Texas, basically, we have rules that none of the showmanships can fit. Like, you can't fit. So, I would say that it's probably perfectly fine not to be fit, even if they allow you to, because the only people that are going to be fit in showmanship are going to be like the Angus, because they're normally the first breed. But I think it's perfectly fine to not be fit. And if the show is before, if showmanship is before the show, I don't think there's any judge worth their salt that's going to knock off points because your animal isn't fit in showmanship.
Nope, I agree completely. I think it's just common sense that you don't. Now, if you're there and showmanship is absolutely your priority, period, then maybe if that takes priority. And the other point I want to bring out is if you have an animal that has a serious flaw that you can hide pretty well by fitting it, maybe you want to think about not coming out for showmanship if you're not going to fit, because that judge is going to get that first impression. And if you're the same judge as doing showmanship as the market show, you might want to avoid that. In the larger shows, Ryan, I would strongly recommend separate judges, ship and market, or for showmanship and just the regular show. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
And I know not all shows have the budget to do that, so it's not always realistic. But Abby, good question. I hope that helps you out there. And I absolutely agree with Ryan on this one, this single point, not other things, that there's not many judges going to hold against you, I don't think. Matt has the next question. I have listened to almost every episode, and I do not remember you guys addressing the phantom halters. Are you good with this in cattle showmanship? I'm assuming he's talking about the wire halters.
Oh, I didn't know that's what
they
were called.
I think Phantom's a brand name. I'm sure there's several of them, but that I believe that's one of the brand names.
Oh.
That I'm just guessing here.
I don't mind wire halters. I'll be honest with you, in Texas, we're not allowed to use them at major shows. So, but I does not... It does, yeah, we can't use them at major shows, but it does not bother me. And the reason that they don't let us use them at Texas major shows is because some crazy PETA person rolling around will think that wire, whatever, is hurting the animal. But I have no problem with them at all. Again, some animals work better with wire halters. Some of them work better with leather halters, whatever. The only thing that I have to say on all of this, and I know some of those wire halters are that kind of white covered in that white plastic stuff and whatever, I think the painted white halters really bother me. Like the ones, the white leather halters or the ones that they paint white, they really bother me. I think on halters, you should stay with black or brown color wise, but wire does not bother me.
Got it. We're starting to see more of the wire and the goat ring as well, and I think some of our goats actually respond very well to it. So I think whatever the animal responds the best to, that's allowed by the show. That's where I'm gonna leave it.
I agree.
Jason, this one's longer.
Oh, great.
I enjoy every episode, and especially the question and answer.
You and Dale.
See there are some out there. Jason, I this is good. I have submitted this question several times and hope that it would eventually make it on the podcast. I
see, your buddy Dale's letting you down, Jason.
I could tell you, I could pretend to Jason that I saw it many times, but Ryan, you know what? Sometimes I miss them. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you, I don't go to many different outlets looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
My county show recently implemented a slick shorn steer rule. I am fine with selecting for a slick calf, and in my part of the world, it may even save me some money. My problem is the rule has been put in place for the wrong reason, which I believe it has been put in place to try to prevent myself and another family that works hard from winning. What do you think of rules that are put in place, such as this one?
Okay, this is real simple. And it's a very good question and whatever. The reason that I should believe there should only be one rule and the show starts at noon is because of bullshit just like this. I don't care what the rule, and this is why we had the County Fair Mentality podcast and this second one and whatever, all
this,
that.
This one falls right in line, doesn't it?
There are people out there at all levels, from the jackpot to the county to the state fair to the national level, that are going to have pushed for rules because they got beat by so-and-so and they think somebody cheated, and so we're going to put a rule in there to prevent that and all this, and it is all bullshit. And in 99% of the time, these rules cannot be enforced that they do. Now, this one, obviously, it can be because they're going to slick your steer. But I do not know. And I think if you in the history, yeah, I could. Well,
I'm going to tell you, it's not going to change the outcome. It's what it's not going to do.
No, it's not. If there's two families that work hard, slick shearing's only going to help you, Jason, okay? Texas has figured that out real quick.
Because I understand, that is Jason, why. You don't like the purpose of it, but in all reality, it's going to help you.
It is going to help you tremendously, because let me tell you, they found out real quick in Texas that the people that were still winning with hair, we won a lot easier and a lot more without hair.
In my opinion, it takes a lot of effort to that those that are setting themselves apart and working that much harder are going to benefit even more from the slicking of the steers. It sounds crazy, but it's just hard to make those slicks look right.
Nope, you are exactly right. So it's going to help you out, but yes, it's bullshit when they do put in rules because somebody won that they didn't want win or whatever. That's why there should only be one rule.
I'm going to say that the majors went to that rule for the same purpose, Ryan. I don't know. I wasn't in the
yes,
in
they went.
That.
Yes, that is yeah. Why they can lie. That is why they thought that little Johnny Foo Foo could go get a cow out of his grandpa's pasture and beat someone like me, and it did not happen.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that it's tied to you personally. I think you should be.
I'm
proud
just
of
telling you. I was not the only family, but there was several of us. And yeah, and that is why.
Well, I think it's good. It developed an entire.
I don't even think
market.
They made it. Like, I don't even think that back then they even tried to hide it. They like were embracing that they were trying to keep the people that had been winning from winning. I think that was part of the pitch.
It was in their purpose or their mission statement.
Right. Yeah, it didn't work out.
Ryan, that's all that I have for today. I think it's been a good session. That kind of winds up our three-part series on showmanship.
Yes.
And as Ryan mentioned, he does not want to hear any requests. Mm-mm. He's going to refer back to episode 108, 9, and 10.
Now, if there is something that we missed.
Oh, we missed a lot.
And we could have, I'm sure, and we did, but I'm just like, if we've covered it on here, I don't want to hear Dale. And Dale was in these recording sessions. I don't want to hear Dale come up with a question that we covered. But I love showmanship. I think it's very important. That's why I wanted to do this three-part in-depth series. I probably got a little, my blood pressure probably got a little raised up today on the Catalan more than ever. Because I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm going to get hate mail for this. I judge more shows than almost anybody I know. And the quality of cattle showmen is going down and the other species is going up. And it bothers me.
That's pretty harsh.
I'm just telling you the truth.
Well, I appreciate it, Ryan. It was a good three-part episode. And for our listeners, until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now, you hear?